Jerry Bader Show, 9:36. Do you have any thoughts on any of the stuff we're tossing around here? The two topics kind of intermingled from Senator Ron Johnson. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. But I want to spend a few more moments on ISIS, and then I'll go to there are really two things that I haven't had a chance to talk about while I was gone yesterday. The beheading of an American journalist. Now, I watched it up to a point. By the way, you can still find it online. I recommend you do not. If you watch it, do not watch the beheading. I don't think there's any value in that. However, I would watch up to the point where the execution begins. I would actually recommend that, and there are a couple of reasons. First, the slick production value makes it all the more macabre. This thing is slickly produced. It starts with the president's announcement of the airstrikes in Iraq. And then it ends, as soon as he puts the knife to his throat, I stopped it. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I could not bring myself to watch that. I know how it ends, and I know what it's going to look like. But watch the production value. It's slick, it's professional, which makes this all the sicker. And I think sends a greater message of what the danger is here. I want to address something else, though. And this is something that briefly popped up on Twitter after the video was viewed by some people. If you watch it, you will see James Foley repudiate the United States of America. He blames the attack and the airstrikes for his death, and criticizes America. There are those who took to Twitter to blast James Foley for that. Well, why wasn't he braver? Why did he allow himself? Obviously, he's being forced to say those things, knowing he's going to die anyway. I am not going to criticize his dying words. I'm not going to do that. And I think it's shameful for anyone that does. Jason, you are exactly right. You're going to judge a guy who's hoping, praying to God that maybe if I tell these bastards, if I say what they want me to say, that they won't do this, and maybe I'll see my family again? Remember, he's a journalist, not a soldier. Understand that. I'm not even sure if I would judge a soldier in those circumstances. You might want to believe that you wouldn't do that. I might want to believe that I wouldn't do that. I'm sure as hell not going to say I wouldn't do it. There's one glimmer of hope to see my daughters or my wife, my friends, my home. Who knows what you're going to say? And I think it is disgusting that people took to Twitter and criticized him for that. It is ridiculous. Now, I mentioned something earlier. The president has this tendency to say, well, there's no place for that in the 21st century, and good people won't let that happen, and on and on and on. No evil force has ever just gone away. Pick one. Pick one evil force that has confronted America, well, the world, in the past that just, you know, due to unpopularity, went away. He's treating an existential global threat like it's a bad TV show that will get canceled if nobody watches. That's actually one of my better analogies. That's the way he treats this. Well, you know, decent people will just excuse them from polite company. Too damn bad. They're going to go on doing what they're doing. And they're going to do this again and again. And they want to do it on our shores. This is a growing global movement across nationalities. It has to be defeated. The way Nazism was defeated. The way the Soviet Union was defeated. By the way, the left doesn't even want to believe that the Cold War was an actual war that we won. Quite frankly, the way the Confederacy was defeated. Things won't just go away because we decide they're unpopular. I thought the Wall Street Journal had this exactly right. We are at war. We're at war. And he still doesn't know it. And I know some of you will think it petty, but taking a brief break and a vacation to address this in the way he did, I thought was incredibly disrespectful. And then to be back on the golf course about 5 minutes later. We're at war. And when I say we, I mean the entire free world, not just the United States. And what did he lean on? Well, these, you know, the factions in Iraq have to get together and we need people. You have to lead the coalition of the willing. You have to do that. This is a far more impotent presidency than we have ever seen, even more so than the Carter years. And I know that during the Bush years, we said you're not supposed to criticize a president during a time of war. We're not at war. And, well, we are. He just doesn't know it. Joe on the road. Joe, hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Hi, good morning, Jerry.
Go ahead.
My comment for this for the reporter's last words, I'm going to say what I said regarding Robin Williams and his actions. You don't know what was in his mind during his last moments on this earth. You don't know what was in his heart. You don't know what his relationship with God was. We don't know. We haven't experienced what that reporter experienced, you know. Daniel Pearl can relate because he was killed the same way. And I just want to close with this. One of my favorite people in history is Edmund Burke, an Irish statesman who was in the British Parliament. He said this: "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good
Good
men to
men
do
to do
nothing."
nothing.
And I'll leave it with that.
Joe, thanks a lot for the call. To Mike in Green Bay. Mike, go ahead.
Hi, Jerry. I just want to comment on this situation. I did watch the video start to finish, and it is absolutely brutal. I'm not going to get into details, but they
Don't. Yeah,
take an
don't.
8-inch knife and saw this guy.
Yep.
Okay? What Obama needs to do is get up in the front of the podium, put a tie on, show the video of this going on, and say, "See, this is what we're fighting." Show the brutality. We got to see the killing of Kennedy over and over and over again, the top of his head blowing off. Show this. Get people really, really angry. I mean, I was literally shaking watching this thing, and that's how angry we need to get.
That's a, well, you know, that's actually an excellent point. I don't know if I agree, but I also don't know if I disagree. I thanks for the call. I'm not really sure how I feel about that. But even if I did agree with it, the only reason he's going to do that is if he does want to anger Americans into action. He still doesn't want to lead. He still doesn't want to be the one. He wants this like a pickup game in a neighborhood. He wants it to just happen organically. He doesn't have to organize it. He just wants to walk onto the court and there's going to be all these people playing basketball. It's not going to happen. Things don't get corrected without leadership. The American Union was healed by the leadership, controversial as it is to this day, of Abraham Lincoln. Whatever you think about FDR, His leadership was largely responsible for the victory in World War II. America has been the keeper of global order. If you don't think that's a good idea anymore, then who is going to do it? What this is showing is no one. Now, I do want to be fair. There were elements of his statement yesterday that I applauded. It was one of the more forceful speeches, but unfortunately, without saying, and here's what we're going to do, it's empty rhetoric. To John and Stephen's point, John, go ahead.
Morning, Jerry.
Morning.
I think the main problem is, as you say, we're fighting a war, but there's no one to surrender.
Well, yeah, they won't. They won't surrender. They have. Okay, my response to that: they need to be exterminated.
Well, something has to change the way how they're recruiting people to get people to stop thinking that this is a good idea. Like, I mean, Nazism, skinheads, Hitlerism, it hasn't died. It's just gone in the closet, waiting in the shadows. But because, like, here in America, we have a skinhead movement, but we have enough communication, enough discussion, enough dialogue that it stays in the closet because it has no real way to format itself.
Okay, now you make an interesting point there because, actually, this is a pretty profound call because this seems to be the way President Obama thinks you're going to obliterate ISIS. Why? Let me ask you, why don't skinheads roam as freely as they used to or act as brazenly as they used to, nor does the Klan? Why do they live in the shadows?
Because we discuss it. We've talked about it. We debate it. We keep them in the shadows by preserving the rights of others.
Uh-huh. By preserving the rights of others, we acted through the court of law to deal with the Klan, to deal with other racist groups, and in part, and this is where the president would be right if that's what we were talking about, in part, a complete lack of societal acceptance of their beliefs and actions. But the reality is, as horrific as skinheads and, thanks for the call, as skinheads and the Klan's belief systems are, they're not, they're barbaric, but they're not as barbaric as ISIS. They're subhumans in the way they act. They have no feeling or regard for another human being, child or adult. And they're not going to be shamed into the shadows the way hate groups in America are. That's not going to happen. The president seems to think that's how it's going to happen. And I think, I know, and I shouldn't obsess with this, and I know that. But I think not wearing a tie is like, look, you know, I'm interrupting my vacation for this. I just want you to know that. That's not leadership. Rick in Wausau. Rick, go ahead.
Yeah, I think everybody's just missing the bottom line here. ISIS is motivated by religion and religion only. And yeah, they're barbaric. So where we have to hit them back is with religion. You know, we've got every religious group has its radical offshoots. We've got the Aryan Nation here and the group down in, Arkansas, God Hates Fags and such as that. They're denounced by mainstream Christianity. But you never hear mainstream Islam denounce these radicals and say, no, they're wrong. That's not our religion.
Let me address that, because this is one of the areas where I do agree with President Obama. This really isn't about religion the way they would have you believe, because they kill Muslims as freely and as wantonly as they kill people of any other faith. They will kill anyone, not just the quote-unquote infidels. They are a marauding gang of animals. They're worse than animals because they kill with no reason at all. And this isn't being done in the name of Islam. I actually agree with the president on that, and I'll let you respond. I think that's just a cover they are using.
Well, I think that mainstream Islam should go after these.
Well, and normally,
you're making us all look bad.
I normally agree with that, except they themselves are terrified of them, Rick.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know that's yeah. But then you do have to have the courage to say that. But they have pretty much everybody cowering in fear right now. Josh and Appleton, hang on. You're next in 3 minutes, 9:51.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.